You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
All right, good morning. Good to see you all this morning, quiet as you may be. I know that children's sermon stuns you all. Sorry, I got too much stuff. Is it just me, or is the world we live in fascinated with evil? Interesting question, maybe. Not just me, huh? I mean, you flip on the news report, and what makes the news? It's like, you know, if it bleeds, or you know, what I don't know the saying. It's like, if some kind of evil, it's always bad stuff. It's always bad stuff. TV shows, we flip on the TV sometime, and there are so many shows. Michelle made the comment one time, she said, why do they give you so many ways on how to kill people? Like, if you watch TV, it's like, how many different ways can I kill somebody and try to get away with it? or to, you know, commit crime of some sort and get away with it? Movies, you know, there's the whole, like, you walk through a movie store, and it's gotten progressively worse that you walk through, like, a Blockbuster or somewhere else, and just the covers of movies are just creepier and creepier and creepier, and they just get worse and worse, and you're like, like the whole, there's like the whole horror movie section that's all kind of tied into to evil or some sort. And then, you know, even like a subsection of the horror films, there's, you know, like a whole genre of exorcism films, right? You know, there's like the classic The Exorcist from, you know, 73, and then more recently like The Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Last Exorcism, or just recently has been out The Rite, which all of these movies dealing with idea of evil and the demonic and exorcism. As a teenager, I remember a sleepover one time. I was with a bunch of friends, and I was probably 13, 14, and somebody put in The Exorcist, you know. That freaked me out. That messed me up as a kid. I was like, oh my, you know, it was just weird stuff in that movie. That was a very strange, disturbing movie, and I was the kind of kid that just, I couldn't handle that stuff, so I'm like calling mom, going, okay, mom, can you give me an excuse to come home now, because this is just weirding me out, and I think she did. I think she came and got me, because it was too much. I couldn't handle it. This month, the month of June, we're looking in our series on stories about casting out demons, about Jesus casting out demons, and then connecting that throughout Scripture about casting out demons. Think about it for a minute. If you had to summarize, what did Jesus come to do? This summary statement, big picture, what was it that Jesus came to do? You can feedback. This is like not a one-way conversation. What's that? Redeem mankind. Great. What else? What do we know? We've been in church for a little while. What do we know of what Jesus came to do? Bind up the brokenhearted. Good. What else? I'll wait. He just had a love. Good. What else? Give us a way out. Good. Yeah. Excellent. All good answers so far. Heal the sick. Great. Raise the dead. Yeah. Absolutely. Good. Teach us love. Great. Anything else? Said to teach us that man should not live by bread alone. Yeah, absolutely. The first sermon Jesus gave, he said, this is in the book of Luke, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He sent me to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. His first sermon, and he read that from Isaiah, and he sits down, and he says, today, in your hearing, this prophecy has been fulfilled. One of the things we clearly see in the ministry of Jesus is that he has come to proclaim the kingdom of God. He says that the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is in your midst. And this is in stark contrast from the kingdom of this world. In fact, some of the names used of the great enemy in Scripture, referring to Satan as the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of darkness, the devil, Satan, even the name Beelzebub, Beelzebul, either way. At one point in Jesus' ministry, when he's going through and he's beginning this ministry of proclaiming the kingdom of God, there comes a point where people look at him and he has cast out this demon, and they say, how is this guy doing? How is he casting out demons? He's casting them out by the prince of demons, by Beelzebul. He is casting this out. And Jesus responds to their accusation in Mark with a story, with a little story. Jesus tells this story to him. He says, he called them to him and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. And get this. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Think about that. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Many have suggested that this simple little phrase there, that one little sentence or two sentences, I guess it might be, that's the key to reading Mark's gospel, when we read Mark's gospel. Because if you read Mark's gospel, this is a different gospel from some of the others. Mark's picture of Jesus, at least in the first half of the gospel, is a Jesus of power. A Jesus that, you don't mess with this guy. He is strong. He is powerful. It's like, you know, if you'll forgive the analogy, it's like Jesus on steroids in a way. You know, it's like the super Jesus compared to some of the other gospels. It's like you start at the beginning, whereas Luke starts with this very wonderful, beautiful picture of Jesus, born in a manger. No birth stories in Mark. When you get to the beginning of Mark, it starts right there at the baptism. You know, Jesus is going under the water, and the voice is coming down from heaven. This is my son, I'm well pleased. And then it says, the very same chapter, he goes from there, begins his ministry, calls some disciples, heals a man with an unclean spirit, begins healing people who are have a fever, heals that. Going on, still in chapter 1, healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons. Down, still in verse 1, casts out more demons, heals a leper, heals a paralytic, heals a man with a withered hand, calms a storm, heals another demon-possessed man, you know, heals a woman who had an issue of blood, raises a little girl to life. I mean, I'm just at chapter 5, and we're like, you see what I'm saying? What is happening here is Mark is telling a story about a Jesus who comes into somebody else's house, maybe the prince of this world, and is binding the strong man. He is showing this man, this prince of this world, has no power over me. And before I redeem this world, before I call it back to myself, watch this. I am the one that's in control here. He is laying it down from the very beginning. So I wanted to tell you that, which is really not our text for today, but to begin to set the stage for this month as we look at these stories about demons being cast out, that we look at it through the lens of what Mark is doing here. He's saying, look, there is a strong man in this world who is in control, a man who has hold over people's lives, but there is one who is stronger. There is one who comes and will bind that man, so that he has no control, who will bind the devil, who will bind Satan, who will demonstrate that he has no authority over him, then he will redeem the world. So with that in mind, our text from today is from Mark chapter 5. You want to turn there with me. Mark chapter 5. It says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. He did not permit him, but said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. Everyone marveled. God, we pray this morning that you would open our eyes and our hearts to receive your word, that we might experience you this morning, that we might experience your great power and your Holy Spirit working within us, that we might experience your freedom, that we might experience your love. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Let me make a few observations this morning about this text. These are things that I see when I'm reading that really jump out at me and strike me. The first one is this. In the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, there are no boundaries that Jesus is not willing to cross. Reach up. I know that was a little weird English there. Jesus, let me say it in the positive. Jesus is willing to cross any boundary to reach someone in the kingdom of God. There is no distance he is not willing to travel, metaphorically and physically, to share, to make someone whole. Because if you think about it, you read this story, and there's a number of boundaries here. First, there's a political boundary. First, Jesus leaves the area from, you know, where he is used to, where most of his ministry takes place, crosses over to the other side of the sea into an area of the Decapolis, an area of cities that is a different political region from where he normally is. So he crosses these political boundaries into this new and different region. But in doing so, he crosses another boundary. He crosses an ethnic boundary as well. Because we recognize really clearly when we get this story that there are herds of swine. Now, swine actually don't live in herds, so that's kind of a weird term there for anybody who's a pig farmer or ever been. I've not been. I've seen it, though, you know. They don't move in herds, you know. But, again, I think there's something else that Mark's doing there that we're not going to get there yet today. But, anyway, he crosses over into this area where there are pigs. This is not a Jewish area, right? Pigs are unclean. They don't eat bacon, no pork, you know. This is obviously not a Jewish region, right? This is a different ethnic area. Jesus is risking being ceremonially unclean by even being over here in this different region. He crosses health boundaries. Jesus said in another place in Scripture, he says, "I didn't come for the well. I didn't come for those who are healthy. I came for the sick." And so he crosses this boundary to this man who, I think Jerry said it in his Sunday school lesson, but by all accounts in our society today would be mentally ill. You know, we would say, this guy has got some mental illness going on here. There's something wrong here. So he crosses these health boundaries, not to go to the pretty people, but the dirty ones, the smelly ones, the ones that are on the outside. He crosses religious boundaries, right? He said that this is not a Jewish people. This is a Gentile people. And this guy, this demon, has been living among the tombs of the dead. Another reason that he would be more unclean. If you can be more unclean. You're either clean or not. Kind of either or. Binary state. Anyway. He's associating with pigs. He's living among the unclean. He's got an unclean spirit. This is not the religious guy that... You don't go hang out with this guy if you're a good Jew. He crosses safety boundaries. You think it was safe? This guy has been cutting himself. He's been... No, their chains can't even hold him down. The people are terrified. That's why he's been kind of banished to this area. This is not a safe place to go. You know, this is not the good part of town. So if we're looking at that, and we're being honest, we're saying that Jesus will go to any length to come to you or to come to me. But that begs the question of us, where are our barriers? As a community, where are our barriers that we don't really feel comfortable crossing? You know, is it the homeless? Is it the smelly? Is it the addicted? I mean, where's your personal line? Is it the sick? Is it people with AIDS? People with cancer? People with leprosy? People with mental illness? Is it the rich? Is it the poor? The Republican? The Democrat? The Tea Party? The Socialist? The homosexual? The heterosexual? Person with dark skin? Brown skin? Asian? Muslim? The terrorist? Where's the line? Is it the incarcerated? The thief? The murderer? The rapist? The child abuser? Where's the line of those people that we're just not comfortable crossing that line to share the gospel? For Jesus, there was no barrier. It's all of them. And all of them equally experienced his love, and there is no distance that he would not go to make them whole. Second thing that I noticed when I'm looking at this text this morning is that when people come to Jesus, they change. They're not the same again. They don't leave the same again. And I think we believe this. As followers of Christ, we believe this. Many of us have experienced it. We've experienced this change. If you think about it, how is your life different today than when it was when you first came to Christ? When you first heard of his love, when you first put your trust in him, how is it different? Think about that. How many of us, though, have treated others as though this fact weren't true, that people really do change when they come to Christ? How many of us have relegated people within the community to kind of second-class citizenship because of their past? Because we know where they are. We just can't let you do this. We can't let them live beyond who they were. How many times have we done that? How many times have we said with our mouth that we believe wholeness can take place, but we're not willing to follow that up with our actions and our attitude? The flip side of this may also be true. Many of us have experienced change. But ask yourself, if your life doesn't look much different today than it did, What's wrong there? We may not have a legion of demons like this guy, but we have our demons, right? Even here this morning. You know, no show of hands, but how many of us are still suffering with the demon of addiction, or the demon of greed, or the demon of materialism, or the demon of pride, or the demon of selfishness, or the demon of gossip, the demon of judgmentalism? Demon of illness, demon of adultery, demon of jealousy, of envy, of anger, of abuse, of grief, of loneliness, of prejudice, of fear. How many of us are still dealing with those? Ask yourselves this morning, where is it that I need Jesus to speak a word of wholeness? Where is it that I need Jesus to speak a word of wholeness? Third thing I noticed is that. Is that that? Okay. Freak me out there for a minute. Whew. This story confronts our priorities, is another thing. this story confronts our priority. When the people in town hear about what's going on, they hear about this man who Jesus cast out these demons, and they've gone into the pigs, and they've run down into the sea and all perished. They want to come out and see what's going on. This is kind of interesting stuff going on. And they find the guy, and he's sitting there. The guy who had been possessed by a demon, and he had been naked and, you know, cutting his body and all this, he's clothed. He's in his right mind. And he's there, and he's focused. So, you know, what do? You know, they start rejoicing, right? And they run up and give him a hug, and they start worshiping God and thanking God, and revival breaks out. No, that's not what happens. That's what we would hope would happen, but that's not what happens. They're more worried about the herd of pigs that died than about the guy who has been given his life back. They're more worried about this Jesus who is upsetting the local economy. This Jesus who is not maintaining the status quo. This Jesus who, he's killed off a whole herd of our livestock. And it's frightening. It's frightening. They're fearful. One commentator humorously put it this way. Said, you got to think that the people might have been asking, what if Jesus delivers everyone from their evil spirits? There might not be enough livestock to hold all the demons. Says, the locals are apparently more concerned for their way of life than for life itself or the Lord of life. Think about that for a second. But don't fool yourself, though. We wouldn't be any different, would we? Really? I mean, you know, this Jesus that we see in Mark is not the Jesus that you're going to invite over for dinner. This is a scary Jesus in a sense. He's terrifying. This guy who comes in and he just starts delivering these evil spirits out of people. He starts, you know, pulling food out of places, you know, just magically by miracle appearing, you know. He starts bringing people back to life. Things are getting upset when Jesus is around. It is not safe when Jesus is around. When Jesus gets a hold of your life, he may just demand everything. When Jesus starts blowing through here in this place with the revival of the Holy Spirit, it will not be business as usual. And it might get a little bit frightening. Are we ready for that? What are our priorities? Do we like this? Final thing that I'll offer as an observation in this passage is that the Jesus who heals is the Jesus who sins. Jesus who heals is the Jesus who sins. He says, go to your home and your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. The man wants to go with Jesus. He wants to be a disciple. He wants to be a follower. And Jesus tells him no. No, it's kind of bizarre. You get this strange picture of what does it mean to be a disciple? Because just a couple of chapters before, you know, Jesus goes to these other guys and he says, leave your family, leave your job, leave everything and follow me. And now he's telling the guy who says, Jesus, I just want to follow you. He says, no, go home. Go back to your family. Go back to your job. Go back to all the things that you were doing, but go back a different person. Go back and proclaim to them the message. Proclaim to them what God has done for you. In reality, this whole story of the demon-possessed man is really our story. Because in reality, we are the man who's been possessed. We are the ones who have been delivered. We are the ones who Jesus says, go and tell what I have done for you. This is the truth of Easter. The truth of those who have experienced a touch of the risen Savior. They're sent into the world. We are sent into the world to help you. Sum it up this way. In Jesus, the kingdom of God has arrived. It has immediately come into conflict with the kingdom of this world. In Jesus, we can find wholeness. In Jesus, we can find deliverance from our demons. In Jesus, our priorities are challenged. Status quo doesn't fit anymore. We can't be worried about the things that we were worried about before. There's lives at stake here. In Jesus, we're sent to testify
kingdom. Kingdom is here. The kingdom.
God, we thank you so much for your word. Your word that confronts us in our complacency. It confronts us in our demon-possessedness. That we have to acknowledge, Lord, that there are demons in our lives here this morning. There are demons that we're struggling with. We need you to deliver us. We know when you do start delivering us and you do start showing your power, it will not be the same. It will not be safe. But you are good. So we trust in your goodness. We trust in your kingdom, and we want that kingdom to begin to break out among us this morning. Father, we thank you that you are binding the strong man so that you may redeem all of this world, all of your creation through all of time, redeeming it for your glory, to be reunited with you, to be perfected in you, to be brought to you in wholeness. Lord, we need that wholeness to begin today in us. We need you to bring it in our hearts and in our lives. We need to leave here changed. So we pray that you would do a great work in us today. I'm going to ask this morning. I didn't ask these guys to do, or these men and women to do this, so I hope they're willing. If you're a servant leader or one of our leadership positions, willing just to kind of step back, around the side. Think about this. What are you struggling with? Are some of these demons we talked about, are they still really, do they have a grip in your heart and a grip in your life? Demons of addiction and greed and materialism and pride, selfishness, gossip, judgmentalism, illness, lying, adultery, jealousy, anger, abuse, grief, loneliness, prejudice. That's you this morning. If there's any of those, you say, yes, I feel that. Any others? Find one of these people. Find one of these men and women. Pray with them. Ask them to pray with you. Ask them to pray for deliverance and for wholeness, for Jesus to come in and to radically transform, to do his work in your life. If there's some of your priorities, if you say, you know what? If Jesus were to come in here, if the Holy Spirit were to come in here and just start radically turning things upside down, I don't think I'd be comfortable with it. Let go of that. Let go of that. That's what we're praying for. That's what we want to happen. That's what we want to see going on. And if you sense this morning that God is calling you somewhere, sending you, whether it be to your neighborhood, whether it be somewhere far and wide, you say, you know what? I have been delivered. I need to be faithful. I need to answer that call this morning.